Jesus said it this way, if you abide with me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So we got to learn how to abide with the Lord, hang out with the Lord, see the Lord more clearly. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The cure for spiritual blindness. Well, who can approach a holy God? That's a great question. Who can approach a holy God? Well, the Bible gives us an answer. He said, only those who have clean hands, and here it is again, a pure heart. You can't just rush up in the presence of God just any kind of old way. Sometimes you got to come confessing sins. Say, Lord, I know what I said yesterday, I thought today, it wasn't pleasing you. Please forgive me of my sins. Or we need to just come with thanksgiving in our heart. But as we approach a holy God, we got to come with clean hands and a pure heart. Again, a good start to our prayer life could be, Lord, I know there's some things in me, and some things you might already know, so you can just roll them off. You can list them. But there may be things even in your life that you don't know. Say, God, show me some stuff in my life that's keeping me at a distance from you. Because I want to approach your holy hill. I want to be close to you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to walk close with you. Think back to maybe when you were first saved, first born again. At least this was my experience. When I first got saved, man, I mean, you couldn't keep me out of the Bible. You couldn't keep me out of church. It's like, man, I was just looking for the Lord everywhere. Then somewhere along the line, y'all not going to be honest with me this morning. Right? Somewhere along the line, there's a tendency we lose some of our zeal for the Lord. That's why we say, Lord, return me to my first love. I've allowed life or just thing or just circumstance or other thing to get in my life and to cloud my view of you. I don't see you like I used to. I don't long to be with you like I used to. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Blessed are the pure in God, for they shall see God. As I mentioned earlier, cures to this spiritual blindness. The first cure is this. Here it is. Ground zero. Here it is. The first cure is you got to be born again. I can't preach that enough. I'm going to keep preaching and teaching that every time. If I stand up, I'm going to mention salvation. Because some people, that's their first step, and they miss that first step, and they try to get all the other steps. If you don't get that first step right, you'll never get anything else right. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, Jesus told him, he said, man, you need to be born again. You got to be born again. So you got to admit that you are a sinner. Here's the gospel. You got to admit that you are a sinner in need of a savior. You got to believe that salvation comes from Christ and Christ alone, from Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus taking communion. It's not Jesus plus walking the aisle. It's not Jesus plus joining the church. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Salvation is only in him. Jesus said, I am the way, not one of the ways. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's pretty clear, right? Peter said it this way in Acts 4:12. He said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved. It was Jesus last week. It was Jesus yesterday. It's Jesus today. It'll be Jesus next week. It'll be Jesus next year. It'll be Jesus throughout all eternity. Salvation is just of the Lord. So I don't think you can see God without seeing Jesus. You got to go by way of the cross. You got to first enter into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus and Jesus alone. So to do this, though, it takes, you got to confess sin. It takes a belief in the right stuff, a belief in the truth, a belief in the gospel, a belief that Jesus died for my sins. He hung on the cross, and that's enough. He is my propitiation. He's his atoning death pleads the wrath and anger of God. You got to believe the gospel truth. You know, you got to confess with your mouth. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. The gospel message is simple yet profound. Romans 1:16, Paul said it this way. He said, for I'm not ashamed, Brother Ricky, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, and also for the Jew and also for the Gentile. So the first step to seeing God clearly is making sure you are born again, making sure you are saved. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, there are some things that clouds the vision of the Christian, the born-again believer. Let me make the assumption that you under the sound of my voice, you are saved, you're born again. If not, today is the day of salvation. But even as a Christian, here's some things that might cloud your vision and my vision, for we won't see God or experience Him in a way that we should see Him. Of course, when I mention see Him, we don't physically see God, because God said, no man can see me and live. But when the text is talking about see, or when I'm talking about see, it's really about experiencing God, having a close walk with God, being more intimate with the Father, a fellowship with God. God said, I want to fellowship with you, but I see some things in your life. I see some unforgiveness. Talking about in your heart. I see some bitterness. I see that gossiping spirit. I see that lusting spirit. I see a lack of love for others. I see you causing disunity in the body of Christ. I see a divisive spirit. I see filthy language coming out of your mouth. I see unwholesome words. I see pride. I see gluttony. I see idols. You know, those things that you have erected in your heart. That's what God's saying. Those things you have erected in your heart that blur your vision of me. God said, I see all of those things. See, if you got some of those things in your life, beloved, you're not going to see God the way you should see God. You're not going to see Him the way you should see Him. So God is telling us this morning, He see those things. Listen to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. You might want to write this down and read it later. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Talking about the cure for spiritual blindness. Talking about only the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Listen to what the Lord says in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. He said, behold, the writer Isaiah said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, it's not too short, that it cannot save, nor His ear dull, that it cannot hear. Listen, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. That is direct application to the Israelites, but really to us as the people of God. God said, my arm is not too short. God said, my ear is not too dull. I can hear you, but say, your sins have caused me to hide my face from you. Your iniquities have separated you from me, God says. See, for the believer, sin is a terrible disease. And sometimes I think we get a little mixed up because out of Ecclesiastes 8, as Brother Steve read earlier, sometimes we do something we shouldn't do and nothing happens right away. We say, oh, we can keep on doing that. Now, sin is a terrible thing. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin hinders our fellowship with God. Sin hampers our fellowship with God. The main thing I need to, if I got sin in my life and I'm trying to fellowship with God, now, God, so I'm just waiting on you to confess. I'm waiting on you to repent. Other than that, we're not hanging out. Sin hinders our relationship with God. And as a Christian, again, there's nothing more in the world that I really desire more than a close walk with Jesus. A close walk with God. So if I or you are holding on to some stuff that we know, I know here it is. Some people don't even want to pray that prayer because they want to hold on to that little pet sin before they want to, more than they want to see God. You got to let that stuff go, whatever that stuff is. And I'm going to mention a few things in a minute. Obviously, it could be any sin, but it could be some things that inherently are not sinful. But still, there are other things that can keep you and me from God. The Bible says, confess your sins. Agree with God. That's what confession really means. I agree with you, God, that you missed the mark. Repent of your sins. Turn from them and turn to Jesus. Turn to the Lord. You know, we're told, you know, 1 John 1, 9, awesome verse says, if we confess our sins, if we agree with God that I have sinned, Father, I missed the mark. I messed up. I was thinking some stuff I should not have thought. I did something I should not have done. I missed the mark. I confess my sins to you. The Bible says He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That is a good place to clap. That is a good place to say amen. Confession and repentance, those are friends to the Christian, to the follower of Christ. Don't allow unconfessed sin. Don't let unrepentance cloud your view of God. Our God doesn't turn away a broken and a contrite heart. If you come to God and say, God, I blew it, I messed up, God forgives. Now, sometimes, depends on what it was, sometimes we're going to have some consequences, oftentimes some negative consequences to deal with. But for us, forgiveness in your relationship with the Lord, He forgives. If you don't believe me, just ask David. This brother committed adultery. He has had our Bathsheba husband murdered, and he went through a rough time. Read Psalms 51 and Psalms 32. He went through a rough time, but David cried out, said, God, return to me the joy of thy salvation. And yet there were some consequences that remained for the rest of David's life, but as you read Psalms 32, he got his joy back. he renewed his walk with the Lord. But there were some consequences he had to deal with. So you and I need to cry out to God to deliver you from anything that hinders your view of him. Say, God, whatever, show me whatever is clouding my view of you. Show me that thing or those things or those people or whatever it might be that's clouding my view of you, because I want to see you more clearly. Again, I think some people, because I'm going to lose some of you all right here. I said this earlier. Let me restate it. I think some people don't pray that type of prayer because, I know y'all saying, well, it's not me. I might lose some of you, right? Because you might not admit it, because maybe you enjoy that particular thing that's keeping you be closer to God. You enjoy that thing more than you enjoy God. More than you enjoy Jesus. Beloved, whatever that thing is, if it's quote unquote not a sinful thing, but watch this. If you enjoy that thing more so than God, it is sin. That's an idol you have erected in your heart that's hindering your view sight of God. I know people that love a lot. I mean, it's nothing wrong with having good hobbies, and don't get me wrong. It's nothing wrong with those things. I mean, I often tease with the Johnsons. I used to ride a motorcycle back in the day. I mean, if I had a motorcycle, I would have a tendency to idolize that motorcycle. If you ever rode a motorcycle, you get me. If you hadn't, you just can't follow me right there. Motorcycle get in your blood. They just in your blood. So it can be a neutral thing, but if you begin to idolize that thing, you need to remove that thing. And you say, God, I'm going to fast off that thing. Whatever that thing is. I'm talking about seeing God. Only but the pure in heart shall see God. Now, it may not be an apparent sin in your life. Maybe you don't even know it. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. It could be something as simple as, watch me, track with me now. I'm talking about seeing God, being more close to God, intimate with God. It could be something that's too much TV watch. Back in the day when TVs first came out, the old preacher would say, that's the one-eyed devil. That's what the old preacher used to call it. The one-eyed devil. It could be you on social media too much. Now, I know this is cliche, but rather than being on Facebook, put your face in the book. Rather than being on Snapchat, try chatting with our Heavenly Father a little bit. It could be a variety of things. It might be you just, and listen, if you're too busy to spend time with God, you're just too busy. Do I need to go out the side door now or later? You're just too busy. I mean, all of us got to work. I get that. But if you're like my brother, I often pick on him. He's over in Arkansas, so I can pick on him, and he won't even know it. He's a workaholic. If you're working too much and you get home, you're just too tired, or you have to get up so early, you can't spend time. You're just working too much. That's a good prayer, Lord. I want to spend more time with you. So somehow I kind of reduce these work hours a little bit. Maybe it's just misplaced priority. Everybody had their own thing, but I used to be involved with certain different social groups and stuff, and of course I was in a fraternity, all that stuff, and everybody had their own grid. But once I got to a certain point, I was like, all this other stuff is okay, but I gotta focus in on the Lord. I gotta focus in things that really have some eternal benefit. Some people don't see the Lord because maybe it might be you just too lazy. You're just too lazy. That's the reason some Christians don't see the Lord. You're just too lazy. Because they ain't open up the Bible. They ain't open it up. If you don't open the Bible, you're not going to really see the Lord. And then some people like to be talking, well, yeah, the Lord spoke to me last night in a dream. But they ain't read the Bible in 2 months. So you ain't hearing from the Lord. That was something you ate last night or something. But we can't have misplaced priorities. Prioritize the Lord. We put everything else on our little calendars and our little phones. You've got to put on it. I'm going to read the Bible for these next 30 minutes or this 20 minutes or hour, whatever it is. Don't pencil God in. Put him in ink. Say it's non-negotiable. Here it is. Tomorrow or this evening, I'm going to spend this amount of time with the Lord. I promise you, if you don't do that systematically, you won't get around to it. I don't know about you, but on days that I'm just kind of floating along and don't have a plan, I may or may not even read my Bible. Oh, the pastor said that, the preacher said that. Yeah, if I don't have a plan, you know, it's just not going to holler routinely just happen. You know, by God's grace, I kind of have a plan up here now, but you got to have a plan. If you want to see the Lord, if you want to be closer to Jesus, if you want to be closer to God, and here's a good homework assignment. Write out a plan. So, Lord, you and I are right here today, but I want us to be closer. So this is what I want to do. Show me what I need to do. That I might be closer to you. And then, see, there's certain things we can pray. We don't have to worry about, you know, sometimes we pray and we say, I don't know if this is in God's will. Sometimes we even pray like that. Lord, is this your will? And that's okay to pray like that. But you can pray like, God, I want to be closer to you. You don't have to worry about, is that God's will for my life? Yeah, that's God's will for your life and my life. Matter of fact, he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. This stuff is not rocket science. So we can pray that, beloved. Say, Lord, I want to be closer to you. We've kind of drifted apart a little bit. Lord, I want to think what you're thinking. I want your ways to be my ways. I want to see you more clearly now than I did last year. Only but the pure in heart shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So one of the ways you might want to just list or pray or be before the Lord. So Lord, what's hindering me? Here's the homework and here's the cure, if you will. What's hindering me from seeing you more clearly? And I promise you, when you pray a prayer like that, God will begin to show you stuff. You'd be like, wow, oh, I didn't even know that. Lord, what's hindering me? And watch this. Doing this type of praying and doing this type, having this type of desire, it's not just a one-day deliverance. Okay, I got it now. No, it's an ongoing daily battle. Lord, set me free this day. Let me be closer to you this day. No, really, Lord, let me be closer to you this hour. No, really, Lord, let me be closer to you this minute. It's an ongoing daily battle, because even though we're born again, even though we've been redeemed, we're still in this fallen, we're still in this flesh. As Jesus told his disciples when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he came back. You all know that he prayed three times and he came back. They was like, we're going to pray with you. He came back. They were asleep. Jesus said, in other words, Jesus, I know y'all wanted to, but y'all was good. The spirit is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. So if you're talking about you want to see God more clearly, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Guess the Lord, give me some better step. Give me a better plan that I might see you more clearly. That I might be more intimate with you today than I was yesterday. This week than I was last week. This year than I was last year. So Lord, I want to be delivered from whatever is hindering me from seeing you more clearly. Y'all with me this morning? I'm almost through. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He'll do that for you. He'll draw you closer to himself. He did it for the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he was trying to worship God, reading in the scriptures Isaiah, but he didn't know what they meant. And he sent Philip, and Philip led the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. The Lord did it for the demoniac who was hanging out in the graveyard, just losing his mind. And of course, he met Christ and got delivered. He did it with the woman with the issue of blood. He did it for the Samaritan woman at the well who had an issue with men, had all kind of ex-husbands. He did it for her, just to name a few. He did it for the Apostle Paul when he was Saul on the Damascus Road, thought he was doing God a favor, thought he was doing the right thing by trying to snuff out Christians. And of course, Christ met him on the Damascus Road and saved Brother Paul. He did it for me, and he did it for many of you. Matter of fact, Paul said it this way as he's talking about growing closer to God. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Listen to the voice of this brother who loved Jesus. He said, not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Somebody said, press on. That I may lay hold of that for which God in Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it. Paul said, I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I press on. Paul said, I'm close with the Lord, but I'm not where I should be, or not where I could be. I want to get closer to the Lord. Now here was a Paul, here was a brother who walked closely with Jesus. But Paul said, no, I haven't apprehended it yet. I don't have it all together yet. I want to be closer to my Lord. That should be all of our heartbeat. Press on, press toward God, press toward Jesus. He doesn't make it hard. Matter of fact, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, we oftentimes look for our rest in the wrong places. We gotta look for our rest in the Lord, Sister Sam. We gotta look for our rest in Jesus, Brother Jeff, in Jesus. Paul also said, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, we don't like this word, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said, I want to know him so badly. I want to know him via the power of his resurrection. I like that part. The power of his resurrection. But Paul said, I want to know him so badly. I want to even experience the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't mind. Paul said, I can go through sufferings for the Lord. I just want to be closer to Jesus. That's why Paul could be in the jail and they locked down and may even lose their head and they could be in there singing hymns, praising and worshiping the Lord. And then about the midnight hour, there was a jailhouse rock and God calls, all the doors to open up and the chains to fall off. And Paul walked on out, went to the Philippian jailhouse and led him and his family to Christ because he was walking closer with Jesus. So do you want to know him? Do you want to see him? Well, beloved, you got to forsake sin. You got to flee from sin. You got to run from it and run to God. You got to say, Lord, I want to turn away from this thing over here and run to you. Be like Moses. He said, God, please show me your glory. Every time I read that, it just blows my mind. Because here was a man. Think about it. This is later on in their relationship. He had already seen God. A theophany, God speak to him through a burning bush, Brother Rodney, through a burning bush. I mean, to me, that's enough glory of God right there. That lasts me a lifetime. So Paul had seen that. And he had seen God perform the 10 miracles down in Egypt. He had seen all that. He's seen God part the Red Sea. But that wasn't enough for Moses. That wasn't enough for Moses. God, show me more of your glory. Of course, God said, I can't show you my real glory now, Moses. I had to be doing your eulogy, your obituary. But God put him in a cleft of the rock. And God passed by. Showed him a little more of his glory, if you will. So Moses had a desire, a hunger to have more of God, to be closer to God. Have a better and clearer view of God. That should be your heartbeat. That should be my heartbeat. To have a better and clearer view of God. So Moses, Lord, I know a lot about you, but I want to know more about you. Show me your glory. Because once again, God met him at the point where Moses could handle. Then David, as I spoke about him earlier, you know, he longs to be close to God. I mean, even though he did all this other sinful stuff, he had a desire and hunger to be close to God. I'm going to read Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, and this is the word of God for the people of God, and I'm through after that. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. This can be like a battle cry for you if you want to be closer to God, closer to Jesus. Psalms 63, verses 1 through 8 says, Oh God, it's on the screen. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, God, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. See, David wanted to see God. You should want to see God and experience God. He said, so I've looked for you, God, in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. One of the great privileges that we have, beloved, is we get to praise and bless and worship the Lord all of our lives and throughout all eternity. David said, I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you, David said, when I'm on my bed at night, I begin to think about you, Lord. I begin to meditate on you and your goodness. And just when I think about you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. When was the last time, beloved, you went to bed with the Lord on your mind? When was the last time you woke up in the morning with the Lord on your mind? He said, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wing, here's a byproduct, a benefit of being intimate and close to the Lord. He said, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. That speaks to protection. He said, my soul follows close behind you. I chase after you, dear God. I run after you, dear Jesus. Your right hand upholds me. That sounds like a brother who wants to see God. That sounds like a brother who wants to be close to God. Is that your heartbeat this morning? To be closer to Jesus. Let me make sure I make this real catch this correctly. To be closer to him, it is going to cost you some stuff. It'll cost you some stuff. But whatever it costs you, beloved, whatever it costs you, it's well worth the cost. It's well worth the loss. Whatever it is, it's well worth the loss. You'd probably be saying, man, I wish I'd have done this before. I wish I'd have done this earlier in my Christian life. Look at Jesus. Even while he was on earth, he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So he had a closeness. God the Son had a closeness with God the Father. So if he had that type of relationship, surely you and I should have that type of relationship. Jesus, who is God, all God, yet all man, he said, I only do what the Father's telling me. Matter of fact, none can come to me unless the Father draws them. So Jesus obeyed his Father while he was on earth, even to the death on the cross. So that's the perfect advice from the perfect man, Jesus Christ. He obeyed his Father, even to death on the cross. But early Sunday morning, he rose again with all power. And he had all power going in, and he came out with all power. He rose so that you and I could see God, so that you and I could experience God, so that you and I could be intimate with our God, so that we could have a vibrant relationship and fellowship with our God. See, as we seek, as we desire to see God, even God himself reaches out to us to draw us closer to him. Let me give you some quick Bible on that. The prodigal son, he went off and left the father, took all the money that was due to him, if you will, and went out. And y'all know how that parable goes. He squandered all the money. And he ended up being broke. And his father, who represents God in the parable that our Lord and Savior taught, the Bible said, when the prodigal son was coming back home, who had been away from the father, the Bible says the father ran to the son. You know, in that culture, very seldom did men, Jewish men, run, but he ran to his son. So it is with you and I, beloved. Maybe me, I drift off track every now and then, or go away, or play the way of the prodigal maybe every now and then. But if you repent, if you confess and turn back to God, he will run to you and grab you and pull you. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? And he won't say, well, you blew it. You sinned. No, it's over for you and me. It's over. Now, God, you run to God. You turn to God, and he'll turn to you. Again, confess your sin. He is faithful. He is righteous to cleanse us of sin. The year was 1992. This Olympian by the name of Derek Redmond. I think he had run in the previous Olympics in 88 and he didn't win. So here was 1992. Talking about how God comes to us to draw us close to him. In 1992, he had trained for the Olympics and he ran in the Olympics, 400 meters, one lap around, 400 meters. And the gun goes off and Derek Redmond is running and doing well. Matter of fact, he has an opportunity perhaps to win the race. And he comes around that last turn. You all know anything about track. That last turn, Derek Redmond is doing well. The crowd is cheering. It's the Olympics, 400 meters. And all of a sudden, Derek Redmond crumbles and falls to the track. So the crowd, of course, kind of gasps and says, oh, nobody knew what really happened. Of course, the race went on. They went on and crossed the finish line. Derek Redmond was there on the track, crumbled and of course, kind of really depressed and down, like, man, nobody really know what happened. But all of a sudden, this man, true story, this man began to make his way down out of the stands. And nobody really knew who this man was. And he made his way down, and somehow he got by the security guards, got over the fence, and made it out to the track. And people was wondering, who is this man? Who is this? What is he going to do? Next thing you know, this man picked up Derek Redmond. They went arm in arm. This man was Derek Redmond's father, you see. It was his father. So his father, Derek Redmond's father, would not allow him to stay on the track, stay down and out, stay depressed. He got Derek Redmond up, and he and his father, one of the greatest things ever in Olympic history period, went on across the finish line, father and son. Well, check this out. We got a father who, as we stumble, we might hurt ourselves or pull a hamstring. He comes down, if you will, out of the heavens, down out of the stand, and picks us up and carries us on, and we can walk with him on across the finish line. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Because again, God is there to pick us up, to take us on across the finish line with him. That's one of his major desires. It's for us to have close communion, close fellowship, close intimacy with him. Look at God the Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't come on earth and just hang out by himself. Now, he got disciples around him, had other people following him. You could tell he loved to be around people, all this stuff, those religious people, the scribes and Pharisees. But the average person, he enjoyed their fellowship. So it is with our Heavenly Father. He has a desire. He has a hunger to be close to us. We, as Christians, should have a similar hunger, a similar desire to be close to him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you do have a plan for our lives. You saved us, those of us who are born again. And then you've drawn us into a close relationship with you. So, Father, even as we say, what is your will for my life? Really, we just say, dear God, this is your will, is for us to be close to you.